Good morning. How are we doing? Good to see you today. We'll just get it out of the way early. Just say go Hawks. I mean, you know. All right. Now we can move along. We have one Patriot fan in the house. Elder Chuck, can we get a church discipline going? No. Oh, goodness. All right. Good to see you this morning. We are in our last message in our series of the book of Habakkuk, the journey from doubt to faith. And this morning, we're going to look at just the last bit of chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Go ahead, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out. Turn there with me. The title of the message is Trusting God No Matter What. And so throughout this series, we've been tracking Habakkuk's personal journey from a place of questioning, doubt, and confusion at the beginning of the book to a place of faith and hope and confidence by the end of the book. So in this closing passage, Habakkuk just makes one of a very strong statement of faith. And the statement makes for a fitting high point to the end of the book. And in many ways, we kind of have saved the best for last here. The book of Habakkuk is all about faith in God. And in fact, we saw that the key verse in the book way back in chapter 2, verse 4, not on the screen, but just listen to this. Behold, his soul is puffed up, but it's not upright within him. And now here's the key. But the righteous shall live by his faith. You know, we live in a time when the best-selling Christian books seem to be the ones that talk about how you can get ahead and live a good life. And you know what I think? I think it's easy to put your faith in God when everything's going well and life's going according to your plan. But the book of Habakkuk, he challenges us to put your faith in God even during the worst of times. When he reached the end of his journey, he had moved from a place of doubting God to a place of trusting God no matter what. That no matter what was a serious issue for Habakkuk. Far more serious than most of the issues that we deal with every day. God had revealed to Habakkuk that his country was about to be invaded. Right? They were going to be robbed. Their country, it's going to be turned inside out. Habakkuk and his people were about to lose everything. Everything that they worked for all those years. It all would be gone. That's a whole different thing than trusting God even though you got a speeding ticket. Right? Or you had a bad day at work. Or you got a bad grade on a test. The book of Habakkuk challenges us to learn to trust God no matter what. Let's put the question in the same terms Habakkuk faced. Let's say the United States was invaded and took over by China in our lifetime. Let's just say that happened. Like, how would that affect your faith in God? Is your faith strong enough to stand up to that kind of trial? Could you still rejoice in the Lord if you lost everything? I'm talking about losing your job, your home, your family, your friends. Is your faith strong enough to trust God no matter what? That's the place where Habakkuk finds himself at the end of chapter 3. How do you exercise faith during the worst of times? And I get it. I realize our church has gone through some stuff, right? And you guys did great through that. But it's nothing like what Habakkuk is facing. So he shares with us three things that he did even when he was facing hard things. Even things that were the worst ever. Let's look at these closing verses and see what we can learn that might help us to strengthen our faith. Go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me this morning. The first thing you can do is wait on God even when you're afraid. In verse 16, the first part, it says this, I hear and my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters into my bones, and my legs tremble beneath me. God had told Habakkuk about the coming invasion by the Babylonians. And God had described, right, the arrogance and the violence and the cruelty of these people, like in chilling detail. God also told Habakkuk about the great and awesome judgment that he would bring on Babylon and all the nations who refused to submit to him. And Habakkuk is totally paralyzed with fear of what this is going to look like. He's afraid. His heart is pounding out of his chest. His lips are quivering. He feels physically weak. Can barely stand up. This is like fear factor to the max. And he isn't just dealing with the possibility of an attack on his own country, but knowing from a reliable source the attack is happening. You can imagine what he's going through in his mind at this point. Like, it's gonna happen. How do you deal with extreme fear? Well, what do you do when fear grabs you in such a way that your heart is pounding? Do you like to try to just think positive things, or do you breathe deeply? Or maybe you just try to push it out of your mind? So how do we exercise faith in God during the worst of times? Habakkuk says to quietly wait, or to wait patiently for God when you're afraid. Second half of verse 16. Yes, I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. So God told Habakkuk, Babylonians were going to come and invade. Nobody's stopping that. Right? It's going to happen. But God also assured him that he would judge the Babylonians for their sin and ultimately deliver his people. So in the midst of fear, Habakkuk chooses to quietly wait on God. Is that your go-to? When fear grips you, just go, I'm going to quietly wait on God here. The word quietly wait here means to rest, to settle down, or to remain. The implication here is that is a settling of one's heart and a resting in faith. Habakkuk is determined to wait on God during this time of trial. He's going to rest in the Lord. And God promises to give us peace when you give him his fears. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a great trade that is, isn't it? You give your worries to him, and he gives us what? Peace. He gives us peace. So the first way we exercise our trust in God in the worst of times is to quietly wait for God. Right? Just to rest in him. The second thing we do is to choose to rejoice in God even when it all goes wrong. Verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk knew the season of invasion, what was coming, which was going to lead to devastation and starvation. And so he outlines the loss of major sources of food briefly for us. Figs aren't going to blossom. There's no grapes on the vine. Olive crop, no good. Grain in the fields aren't going to produce any food. Right? Even the flocks of the sheep and the goats, as well as cattle, going to die. Cut off. Nothing would be left. Right? It's easy to trust God when the fig tree is producing figs. When there's grapes on the vines, easy to trust God when the olive crop is plentiful and the fields are supplying food. The question becomes, are we really trusting in God or are we trusting in the things that we have? I think of Job in the Old Testament. This was the question Satan asked God about Job, right? Does Job trust you simply because he trusts in you? Or does he trust you because you've blessed him? Now, of course, we know Job passed the test. When God removes the blessing, Job continued to trust in him no matter what. Habakkuk challenges us with the same question. Do you really trust in God? Or you just trust him when he's blessing you. Theologian F.F. Bruce puts it this way. He said, it is right and proper to voice appreciation of God's goodness when he bestows all that is necessary for life, health, and prosperity. But when these things are lacking, to rejoice in God for his own sake is evidence of pure faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Want to know what the will of God in your life is? There it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. How can we learn to trust them like that? Let's take a look at verses 17, 18 a little bit closer. And it's going to reveal some concepts that help us to trust more. First, Habakkuk commits to praising God regardless of external circumstances. Verse 17 gives us a picture of the trials to come, right? No figs on the tree. I won't go through those all again. You know what they are. And then after this dismal description, the prophet says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. It's what you do when you lose your job or the stock market goes bust or when you put years into a relationship and the relationship falls apart. When it's all crumbling down around you, Habakkuk says, trust God no matter what. Habakkuk remembered God's goodness in times past and he comes to the conclusion that God is worthy of praise. The prophet might lack olives and grapes and all that other stuff, but he never would be without God. Second, Habakkuk praises God specifically for salvation. I will take joy in the God of my salvation, last part of verse 18. God not only could save, God is salvation. And interestingly, the title, God of my salvation, is used seven times in the Old Testament. Five of these times are found in the Psalms. Psalms 18:46, 25:5, 27:9, 51:14, 88:1. One time in Habakkuk here, and then another in Micah 7:7. Habakkuk's joy was not dependent on physical blessings. Even if Habakkuk suffered extreme loss, he was determined to praise God. How do you exercise faith during the worst of times? You choose to rejoice in God even when life goes sideways. All right, here's the third thing. The third thing is we find strength in God even when you are down. Brings us to verse 19. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places to the choir master and the string instruments. So Habakkuk had learned to find his strength in God and not in his own resources or ability. He was about to go through some pretty hard times. The thought scared him to death. So much that his heart pounded, his legs trembled, and yet as he rejoiced in God in the midst of these difficult circumstances, he found a new strength from God to deal with this, and it was right in front of him. I think one of the challenges of the Christian life is that we can be feeling really good about things on a Tuesday afternoon and feel horrible about things on Wednesday, right? You know what I'm saying? Suppose you have a trial so severe that it just won't go away, even if you think you've learned what God wants you to learn through that trial, right? It still is going to be around for a while. You will need the strength to rejoice in the Lord today, tomorrow, and the next day. Right? The Lord is my strength. To have abiding joy every time those anxious or fearful thoughts come in. We have to know that God is standing at our side. He is with you. He's giving you strength. What is the strength that God gives? Well, Habakkuk said, he makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Like, what is going on there? He paints this picture of a deer running the heights of the mountains, steady, sure-footed, unafraid, full of freedom and confidence as she treads the high places. There are several places in Scripture that refer to God making our feet like the feet of a deer. Here in Habakkuk 3:19, and then over in 2 Samuel 22:34, and also in Psalm 18:33. And we see this metaphoric language describes the blessings that the presence of God gives to a situation. The deer reference here could also be called a gazelle, right? A graceful, swift, sure-footed animal that can climb the rocky cliffs and never stumble or fall. Here's how it works. Apparently, when they climb, a deer places her back feet exactly where her front feet were. And what that does is it allows the deer to not only need two sturdy foot rests instead of four. So the deer can scamper across what appears to be like this vertical cliff, unafraid, totally confident, and they just kind of cross that terrain like it's nothing. That's the picture that the inspired writer draws for us as he describes their sure-footed reliance on God in times of crisis. Habakkuk cries out to God about the sinful condition of his nation. And he had some questions about the methods that God was going to use to correct the situation. And Habakkuk just doesn't talk about it. He really wrestles with the confusion until God brought him to a place of resolution. Just let me read the passage again for you to kind of get the flow of what we're talking about this morning. Though the fig should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. So we run like the deer on the high places. God gives us grace and courage and strength to press on. and with the swiftness of a deer, we can overcome trials and have victory. When we keep our eyes securely on the Lord Jesus, we can run with endurance the race that is set before us, Hebrews 12. According to Philippians 3, we refuse to give up until God calls us home. And God works in us and through us, and we will give Him all the praise and all the glory. And in the midst of trying times, it's easy to get overwhelmed and discouraged. Habakkuk definitely lived in times of crisis, but his solution was to reflect and to redirect his attention to God. Psalm 18 says, God's promises are the solid rock that never fails. With God's promises as our strong foundation, we can walk with courage, unafraid, as a deer scampering across the hillside. I can't help to think that Habakkuk's journeys kind of mirrors our own through the life that we live. We saw how he had some questions like, does God care? And is God fair? And is he there? But instead of running from God, he ran to God in prayer and he found the answers that he needed. Habakkuk started in the valley of doubt and ended treading on the high places with God with feet like a deer. And we too can have a journey where we can come before God honestly with our questions and seek Him with all our heart. It's exactly what Jeremiah 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Here's my challenge for you as we bring this series to a close. First of all, let's just talk about for a second some things that we should not fear, right? Well, like we should not fear circumstances if you are a believer in Christ, right? If we're Christians, we should not fear financial trouble or health issues or earthly circumstances because our life is not here anyway, right? We're just passing through as heaven is our home. Now, there are some things to fear if you're not a Christ follower, right? If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, like you should fear Judgment Day because God knows and He keeps records of all the sins that you've committed. John Newton wrote in his hymn, Amazing Grace, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. Grace enlightens a person to see the gravity of their sin and the reality of God's righteous judgment, creating a necessary godly fear. And then grace relieves those fears through faith in Christ. And we move from fear to faith, to trusting in Him, and to abiding in joy. And through prayer and through reading the Scriptures, we stay close to Him moment by moment. I can encourage you, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I'm going to encourage you not to leave this place without trusting in Jesus. And if you're already a Christian and you know that your heart is not characterized by an abiding, faith-filled joy, I encourage you to repent and to turn to God and to realize that He has given you everything you need for joy, both in heaven and here on this earth. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, thank you for your word today. God, maybe there's somebody here today and their life is just taking some unexpected turns. Just reminding them that they're not in control, that you, in fact, are in control. God, when our future is shaky, help us not to fear, but to trust. Give us peace when plans change and strength when the road is hard and hope when the path ahead is unknown. Thank you for being a faithful God. Your promises never fail. We know that you're working all things together for your glory and our good. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.